Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principle. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer, and baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's C-Dot.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot to get into in today's show. We are going to talk about Rashee Rice here coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, we have five consecutive days of playoff football. We have college football playoff games the next 2 days. We have NFL playoff games starting on Saturday. So we have a very busy slate of football coming up over the next couple of days. We are seeing massive turnover right now in the National Football League. 8 teams in the National Football League are looking for new head coaches. A quarter of the league is completely turning over their coaching staff and front office this offseason. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what that means potentially for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are getting a new wide receiver coach. I don't know why that person was ever put in that position from the very, very beginning of things. There is certainly a lot to get into in the show. Again, we got a bunch of things going on. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here taking you up until 2 o'clock. Before we get things going, I would like to go back because this was just sitting on my heart from yesterday. I don't feel like I handled the 5 o'clock open up to the best of my abilities, and it really, really bothered me. So if you were listening, I'll repeat this again at 5 o'clock. I feel like that's my fault. It's not on Rob. It's not on the boss man. I just don't think I executed it effectively. I apologize. I got to handle those situations better. I promise you we will have a clear conversation about Rashee Rice coming up momentarily. But you guys know I got to tell you 3 things before we get going. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell 2 friends to check out the show. Yes, I'm being greedy. I need that from you. Tell 2 people to check out the show. And number 3, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So with all of this playoff football we have coming up over the next 4 or 5 days, all I need you guys to do is stop by The Other Place, grab yourself something to drink, get a bite to eat, check out the games, and go see our friends over at The Other Place. All right, Rob, this is where I would like to begin the show. I think this is the most pressing story right now in Kansas City. By now, I'm sure you guys have seen the Instagram post or have certainly heard about the Instagram post. An ex-girlfriend, I believe this is the mother of Rashee Rice's children, made a lengthy Instagram post with 21 pictures attached to the Instagram post detailing domestic violence in their relationship. Now, there are some things I'm not here to speculate with you guys about, and I said that yesterday, and I still feel very strongly about that today. We all sat through and lived through the Tyreek Hill fiasco, and whether it was what happened at KCTV 5 or our station finding all of the audio, I am just willing to play a let's wait and see and let's let more facts and more information come out about this case. So I'm not here to jump to any conclusions about it. I'm not here pushing for the Chiefs to release Rashee Rice today or cut him. Let's just let this process play itself out because this story is not going anywhere and we have a long way to go. And the worst thing I think someone in my position can do is to speculate on what I think is going to happen or what I think should happen or come out very emphatically on one way. And then tomorrow we find out that something else happened. And now I don't want to be in that situation. But I do think we have to talk about this from a football roster building standpoint and what it could potentially mean for the Kansas City Chiefs. It goes without saying, Rashee Rice is a part of their future. I don't know how big of a part he is in their future, given the fact that he is entering the final year of his contract. So maybe you were going to be in the position where you were looking for another receiver anyway when it comes to Rashee Rice. We also know, just given the way that NFL contracts work in the National Football League, he was entering a contract year and you were going to have conversations about if you were going to pay Rashee Rice or not. It is very safe to say, at least for right now, those conversations are absolutely null and void. I am not having any conversation with Rashee Rice long term about financial plans or if you're going to be here. If I'm the team, I'm taking a let's do our investigation, let's do our due diligence, let's wait and see how the process plays itself out. But right now, there is no conversation that we are having to your agent about money and what a long-term extension for you looks like. This is the number one thing I think about this with the limited amount of information that we have. I remember Ryan Clark saying this about Antonio Brown, and he remembers noticing little tendencies with Antonio Brown. And at least the story, according to Ryan Clark, is he went up to the Steelers management and said, if you give that player money, that player is going to turn into a problem. Now, we all know how this story ended up. The Steelers ended up giving Antonio Brown a lot of money, and we ended up seeing how the rest of Antonio Brown's career looked with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There is a measure of, I think, acceptance that you were willing to put up depending on how good an NFL player is. Rashee Rice was so good at playing football that he was convicted of a felony. He has to do jail time for it, and the Chiefs never really batted an eye. The Chiefs wrapped their arms around Rashee Rice, were willing to put up with the suspension, and bring Rashee Rice back into the fold. My question for the Chiefs would be, why does this keep coming up with Rashee Rice where he is in the middle of things? How much longer are you willing to put up with the fact that whether it is true, not true, what happened or didn't happen, Rashee Rice's name is always in the middle of some mess. We now know, and this is not speculation at this point, people believe that Rashee Rice was a part of shooting up somebody's car outside of a club when he was at college. This was well known in the National Football League. This was on his draft scouting report, where some teams did not draft Rashee Rice because they believed that he was a part of this. Allegedly, Rashee Rice was involved with some person. Maybe it was the person in the Instagram post. I don't know. Rashee Rice was involved with some woman. The woman seemed to have left Rashee Rice. He felt some kind of way about this person, and he and his boys went up and shot up this person's vehicle. That is what some people in the NFL believed had happened. This is before he even got the money. He then got the money. In his first NFL offseason, we know about the questionable decision-making on the Dallas Highway, and we don't have to completely rehash that thing. In the middle of that situation, he then is alleged to have slapped a photographer over a dispute on whether or not the person could take pictures about him. Fast forward to where we are now. There's an Instagram post that is directly linking him to domestic violence and assaulting a woman. All you have done when you are the Kansas City Chiefs so far is put out fires when it comes to Rashee Rice. What is your breaking point when it comes to him? How much longer are you willing to put up with this? How much longer are you willing to carry this person on the roster? So this is not me jumping to a conclusion. Maybe we find out 3 months from now that whatever ends up happening. But if we are being true to ourselves, if we are being honest talking about this, it has always been something with Rashee Rice. We have spent more time over the last 18 months talking about Rashee Rice off the field than we have spent time talking about Rashee Rice on the field. Whether it's the injury, whether it's the off-the-field things that have happened, we have spent way too much time talking about Rashee Rice's personal life and things that have happened than we have spent time talking about him as a football player. And if we are going to be all adults about this, you ain't good enough for us to keep having these conversations about. We all know that there is a boiling point that NFL teams are willing to have when it comes to character, and they are willing to put up with certain character issues and character personalities when it comes from certain players. Bro, you're always in some mess. We talk about Rashee Rice from a potential standpoint. He's not a 1,300-yard, 1,400 yards, 12, 13 touchdowns. We can't live without this player. No, that isn't what he's been. He's been a good wide receiver, probably a wide receiver two on a lot of different teams in the league that has caused you nothing but headaches over the last 24 months of his time in the National Football League. And as we are getting closer to the Chiefs needing to make a decision, and maybe that decision has just been made for them, if this ends up being 100% true, we don't have to have a conversation about whether or not you should pay him, because his ass is going to be off the team. They're just outright releasing him. They're voiding his contract if this thing plays out in that capacity. So that is just a conversation that the Chiefs need to have privately. How much longer are we going to carry on about this? Because right now, if Rashee Rice just got released from the team, how you would remember Rashee Rice is much more for his off-the-field actions than the kind of receiver that he has been on the field. And that is just, that is not something that is, you cannot continue to carry that if you are the Kansas City Chiefs. We talk about a fresh start. We talk about turning over anew with the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, part of it has to be cutting off things that you think are a distraction from the main thing and the main focus, which is winning championships and getting back to where you think you should be in the playoffs, winning the division, competing for championships, and winning championships. And the actions so far of Rashee Rice, they have made that harder for you if you are the Kansas City Chiefs. We can read your text coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. We can take some phone calls if you like on the other side as well. We also have a college football playoff game coming up later today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
All right, so right now we're talking about the Rashee Rice situation. The Chiefs have now commented on it. The Chiefs commented on it in a, we know that it's happening, but we ain't really got much to say. I'm not even going to waste your time reading the comment. We will get to the college football playoff here in just a bit, but I think we all acknowledge right now this is the top story regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. There were some conversations we knew we were going to have this offseason. What are the Chiefs going to do at offensive coordinator? Who are they going to draft in the top 10? What running back are they going to pick up? I didn't know that immediately after the season, we would be in the center of another controversy surrounding Rashee Rice. For the last 18 months, that's all it's been with Rashee Rice. It has either been controversy or coming off an injury. I understand the injury had nothing to do with him, but an injury is still an injury. You still broke your toe, whether or not you broke it playing basketball or you stubbed it on the bed rail as you were running to the bathroom. You still broke your pinky toe. For the last 18 months, we have spent way more time with Rashee Rice talking about his driving habits, him smacking a producer, camera guy, allegedly, this most recent Instagram post with he and his ex-girlfriend. We have spent way more time talking about that than we have spent time talking about Rashee Rice, the football player. Now, I don't know if Rashee Rice did this or not. I am like all of you sitting here waiting. Let's get more information. I don't think the Chiefs should cut Rashee Rice today. Let's get more information before we get to that point and form that conclusion. The only point that I'm at with the Kansas City Chiefs and Rashee Rice is How many more of these stories are you willing to put up with when it comes to Rashee Rice? And at what point do the Chiefs maybe get to the point where they feel like the juice ain't worth the squeeze? I know it's not fair. I know it's not right. I know we all want to live in a society where when you mess up one time, the team just comes down hard on you and sends this message because the team has so much high moral fiber standing. We all know that's not the case. And the better you are, the more chances they are willing to give you when you mess up. When you are exceptional at something, people are willing to look the other way when you do these indiscretions and do this. That is just a fact of life. Rashee Rice has so far in his career, he has been given a bunch of chances and has not lived up to that. So you got to ask the question, at one point, is the juice worth the squeeze? And as an organization, are the Chiefs just simply willing to walk away because the problems that you cause them, they do not equal up to the production that you give them? A lot of organizations would have given up on Tyreek Hill. You want to know why the Chiefs never gave up on Tyreek Hill? He's one of the fastest people we've ever seen play football. So yeah, they were willing to put up with what he was accused of when he was in college. They were willing to put up with a tape of him talking. They were willing to put up with a lot of things for Tyreek Hill because of how exceptionally talented he was. That is not the situation with Rashee Rice. He has not been close to that kind of player. So I do wonder out loud what could possibly be the breaking point for the Chiefs where they are just simply willing to walk away from all of this. Rob, what do you think on this? I do want to talk about the college football playoff. We are going to read some of your texts as well, but I do want to get to what the top story is.
I think you phrased it perfectly in this regard. We spent a lot of time last season during the year discussing if you or the text line or the Chiefs will be willing to give Rashee Rice an extension. I think those conversations are dead and gone. Whether anything or nothing comes of these allegations from his ex on Instagram, what I do think now is no matter what happens, Rashee Rice's time in Kansas City is either A, done because these allegations are true and now the Chiefs move on, or B, let's say the allegations are false. I don't see any scenario where the Chiefs are saying, hey, you've had three off the field news making moments in the last 3 years. You've been on the team. You've also barely played three seasons. We're now going to give you a bunch of money. So I think from a purely football perspective, and I don't say that to trivialize the allegations off the field, I think Rashee Rice's time in Kansas City is somewhere between 1 year away from being done or possibly done already, because there's just too much noise around him. And the noise, you said it perfectly, the NFL will put up with noise if your production is at a high level. His noise to production equation that the NFL people put up with is wrong right now. And I think the Chiefs are in between 3 to 12 months away from being out of the Rashee Rice business. So now you're potentially going into an offseason or maybe next offseason needing a wide receiver on top of potentially needing a tight end and needing a running back and needing an offensive coordinator and a wide receiver coach. Like, the list of needs on offense is now growing because of the allegations against Rashee Rice.
Yeah, and I guess, and we can move on from this. I don't want to just belabor this point for the whole 2 o'clock hour. Like, at some point, you either become part of the solution, and I feel like at least in some ways with Rashee Rice, what he has done, at least in the short term, is create more problems. It was a problem for Rashee Rice that he was suspended for the first 6 games of the season. The Chiefs possibly make the playoffs this past season if Rashee Rice is on the field for those first 6 games. Who knows how things go? But having your number one wide receiver from the very beginning of the season and him being able to give you, especially when you didn't have Xavier Worthy because of the injury, man, them having Rashee Rice maybe cost them 2 games that maybe didn't mean as lot on the back end because the Chiefs only won 6 games, but the entire energy and synergy of the season goes drastically different if the Chiefs just get off to a better start. They were always playing from behind. And one of the reasons they were playing from behind is they just didn't have their full complement of weapons, and that was just kind of a theme throughout the course of the season. When they put one fire out, another fire would just pop up. Man, you need guys who are problem solvers, not problem creators. And at least for the last 18 months, Rashee Rice has created more problems than he has helped the Chiefs solve.
He is, and I wish football wasn't like this, but it's the reality of the situation, and maybe we don't like talking about this. There is an equation that may not, like, they write on a whiteboard that NFL teams use. Blank amount of noise is worth it if you get blank amount of production. We've seen it in other cities and other teams, other players. Pittsburgh was willing to put up with George Pickens for a while, and then it's time to go. Like, the amount of noise you create needs to equal your production or be less than your production, and teams will be willing to put up with a level of noise, for lack of a better term. Rashee Rice, it has been the opposite. There's been more noise than production on the field, so that is not a good sign for a player who is potentially, he is going into the last year of his contract if the Chiefs decide to stick it out based on the allegations and et cetera.
All right, let's switch gears, and I promise you, we'll come back to Rashee Rice. The story is not going anywhere. We'll talk about it periodically throughout the course of the show. I'm not ready to talk yet about Ole Miss Miami. Rob, if you will indulge me for a little bit, let's go back just a smidgens when it comes to the college football playoff, and then we'll come full circle and we'll talk about the final four that we have today. A lot of thoughts. The first thought is, I feel like we are trying to figure out ways to eliminate blowouts in the college football playoff. Oh, well, if you remove this team, then we wouldn't have any blowouts. Folks, we had blowouts when it was four teams. We're going to have blowouts when it's 12 teams. We're going to have blowouts when it's 16 teams. Because the fact of the matter is, in college football, there are not 16 teams that are good enough to compete at this level that we're talking about. I firmly believe Indiana was going to pick up that belt and they were going to deliver a beatdown in any of the teams that we were debating. I think Indiana would have smoked Notre Dame this season. I think Indiana would have smoked BYU this year. So all the teams that we were, oh, well, why'd you let this team in? If they had put this team in, it would have been no. They would have got pummeled. Indiana is the best team in college football. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win the championship, but that is a team right now that it is going to take a special effort to be able to eliminate them from the tournament. And I'm sorry, blowouts are just a part of this thing. The gap between the teams that are truly elite and really have a chance to win this thing and everybody else is a really substantial gap. So that's number one. There is no way, I think, to eliminate blowouts when it comes to the college football playoff. So let's get that out of the way. The second thing is, for all the complaining that we do about college football, and I'm with you, I stand here and I complain. So I'm not here pointing the finger at you. I got to point it on myself. Oh, I don't like this thing. I don't like this thing. I wish we did it this way. They need to do it this way. Aren't we getting exactly what we wanted? The sentiment was, we got tired of seeing the same teams. You didn't want to see Alabama go to the playoff every year. You didn't want to see Clemson go every single year. You don't want it to just be the Ohio State and the Michigans. You want it new. You want it fresh. You want it parity. You want a turnover. So yes, it is chaotic. Yes, it is stressful. I do wish that it was more structured to it. I don't think, at least right now in a portal situation, I don't think you can sign a financial agreement with the school, another school then come in, offer you more money, and now you go back to the school and say, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to sign with you. I want to sign with them. There are some rules that I would like to see with this thing. But look at the Final Four. It worked. Indiana is in the Final Four. Oregon, who has never won a championship, is in the Final Four. Ole Miss is in a position to win a championship for the first time since 1960. Miami, now a different kind of program, but Miami hasn't been very good for the last 25 years. Basically, since Willis McGahee left school was the last time that Miami has been good. We are here. You got what you wanted. It didn't get here exactly how you wanted it. And yeah, you might want it neatly packaged a little bit better than it's been neatly packaged. But if you are a fan of college football, you cannot say anymore that you know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. We just saw Indiana pummel Alabama in front of everybody. They didn't just beat down Alabama. They took everything that Alabama did to everybody for 20 years and turned it right against them. They ran the ball for 300 yards against them. Alabama's leading rusher was their quarterback, and he had 17 yards. We have got to a point with NIL where a program like Indiana in 2 years can build such a juggernaut that they can punch Alabama in the mouth in the most watched college football game so far of the season. You got exactly what you wanted. So blowouts are a part of this thing. We got what we wanted with the name, image, and likeness. Moving on down the line in the college football playoff. I know we talk a lot about quarterbacks and running backs and all of these things. I get it. And they're fun to have conversations about. If you go back and you think about the final eight teams, the Elite Eight in college football, it was very simple who won those games. who is the more physical team up front? I think Ohio State has more talent than Miami. I think Ohio State is a better team than Miami. Miami was by far and away the more physical team in the national semifinal. Indiana was by far and away the more physical team in their matchup. All of this money that Texas Tech spent in the portal, and they got all this oil money. Oregon just beat them up on the defensive side of the ball. Where Texas Tech offense, it looked unusable. It looked unwatchable at times in the college football playoff. Man, sometimes sports are very, very simple. It's simple. In basketball, do you have a guy that can go get you a bucket? That's it. All these analytics, and do you got a guy that can go get you buckets? In football, all of these EPA and all these charts and things that we use to break down players, is your team more physical than the other team? And if the answer is no, then you are not going to win a whole lot of games. You want to know why the Chiefs didn't win a lot of games this year? Their offensive line wasn't physical enough. Their defensive line wasn't physical enough. Sure, their special teams wasn't good enough. Sure, they should have done this. They should have done that. The Chiefs couldn't run the football. They couldn't dominate the defensive line of scrimmage and get to the other team's quarterback. So they lost a lot of games against teams that could. Those were some of my major takeaways, Rob, as we are winding down the college football season.
I agree with most of your takeaways. Can we talk for a minute about why the quarterfinal matchup should be get back on campus too? Because that is a takeaway now I've had in back-to-back years. You know what was more fun? I'll put the Rose Bowl to the side because the Rose Bowl is obviously, you know, the Rose Bowl, the lure, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what was more fun than watching Texas Tech play Oregon in Miami? Watching Oklahoma play Alabama in Norman. It was more fun to watch, even though it was Tulane, Ole Miss versus Tulane in, you know, Oxford was a great time to watch. I think now, as we're evolving with the college football playoff, we need to get less games at neutral sites and more games on campus. I have no problem with the Final Four and the national title game being at neutral sites. If you're telling me the first time, you know, Ole Miss and Miami are going to match up and it's in Phoenix, cool. But we need more games on campus because one of the things that makes college sports special and that makes playoffs in sports in general special is home crowds. We've seen it with the Royals, we've seen it with the Chiefs, we see it all across sports. Let's get out of the neutral site business in college football and let's keep more games on campus in the playoff as a true reward. Like, do I think Oregon beats Texas Tech in Lubbock? Probably. But I think the game is a lot closer and a lot more fun than it being at a sterile site down in Miami.
This is the last thing, and we can move on from college football. I know all of you are not the biggest college football fans. I'm really excited for the college football playoff. I don't know who's going to win. Indiana is the best team. I can make a case for all four of these teams winning the national championship. Like, we very rarely get to that point. Now, one of these teams is getting blown out over these next 2 days. We know that about the college football playoff. One of these teams is getting smoked over these next 2 days. And we'll figure out which team that it is. We didn't get a whole lot of great games when we had the four teams. Like, we didn't get both great games in the four-team playoff. Now that we're down to a four-team playoff, I'm telling you, one of these two teams is getting smoked here over the next couple of days. Rob, I am with you, and this is why, and I don't think they're doing anything soon about this. This is why I'm so big on they need to reimagine the college football season. We have a college football season that is still centered around how we did things in 1995 and not how we do things in 2026. You cannot give teams 3 weeks off in between in a playoff and think that that is the best thing for them. Yes, everybody wants rest. Everybody wants a bye. But right now we have a system where if you are the number one overall seed, your reward is you don't get a home game and you get a substantial amount of rest that could potentially put you at a disadvantage in your first game. I know one team won out of the last 2 years, but I don't think that's a small sample size. The teams that get the bye are 1-7 in those games. 1-7. That's a substantial disadvantage, especially when the team you are playing, they are not operating under the same disadvantage. The team you are playing has already played a game, so they've had a chance to get back in their momentum, get back into their flow. They're feeling good. They're coming in. They're playing with momentum. Man, one of the themes of the top four seeds has been how slow you start in these games, and it's just really hard to knock off this rust. Maybe they take 1 week off, but You can't start the college football playoff on December 19th and the season end on November 27th. You can't do that. You gotta reimagine this thing and you gotta change it. So if we're gonna expand this team to a 16-team playoff, which it seems like that's what we're headed towards, the first two rounds, to your point, Rob, have to be on campus. Ohio State has to play a home game. Indiana has to play a home game. Texas Tech, your award is you get to have the biggest game in your school's history on your campus, and you continue to advance that way. You then have the Final Four round where we are right now. You do that on New Year's Day, and then we end the college football season on January 8th. That's where, like, tonight should be the national championship game leading into the NFL playoffs. We still got another week of college football after this, after we've already started the NFL playoffs and we're in the middle of this thing. Like, the way college football has configured the playoff and the schedule, it just doesn't work for anybody, I think.
Absolutely not. And I feel like, listen, a lot of times when I hear college coaches whine and complain about NIL and the portal, I kind of roll my eyes like, I'm sorry, this is the world you live in. Figure it out. One thing I won't roll my eyes at is complaints about the calendar. Ole Miss, and the whole crux of the Lane Kiffin Ole Miss problem, and we can talk about that later in the show, is the fact that right now, coaches at Kansas, Missouri, and Kansas State are actively recruiting the portal. Meanwhile, coach at Ole Miss is trying to actively recruit the portal while simultaneously preparing his team for the playoff. The calendar just needs tweaking. We need to fix the portal calendar. We need to fix the game calendar. We need to get games back on campus. Like, I feel like with the playoff, we went bigger, you know, bigger, bolder, better. Let's get back to what makes college sports great, and that's a concise calendar with games on campus. I think if they can clean that up, I think college sports would be in a much, much better way.
Yeah, someone on the text line says they'll never do the Final Four on campus. That would cost them too much money. I'm not advocating for the Final Four to be on campus. I think the first and second round should be on campus. And now once you get to this point where there's four teams left, that's when you incorporate the bowl games. That's when you incorporate the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. But one of these bowls are going to have to be left out. If you only got three neutral site games and there's four prominent bowl games, then somebody's going to be mad. Well, I'm sorry then. The Cotton Bowl just gets to be mad. It just gets to be mad. Every year, the national championship in college football should be at the Rose Bowl. That place screams college football. That's where the national championship should be. That should be the reward of your team playing in the last game of the season, not playing at the Cowboys Stadium or Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. The national championship every single year should be at the Rose Bowl. And then you incorporate the other two bowls. Maybe one bowl is the Fiesta Bowl. One year it's the Cotton Bowl is the semifinal, which leads you to the Rose Bowl. But that should be the end of the college football season, and the end of the college football season should be ending today. We should be talking about the national championship today and not the national semifinal, which, correct me if I'm wrong, when's the national championship game? It's like the 19th or something, isn't it?
It's MLK Day, which is the 19th. So they're going to get 10 to 11 days off between now and then? Like, that's basically between the Super Bowl and the championship. It's too long.
The national championship in college football is on January 19th. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? College football's over. It should have been over a long time ago. It's over. So, yeah, that's too long of a season. No question. It's too long of a season. Rob, do you have Indiana winning this thing?
Winning it all?
Yeah, do you have Indiana as the last team standing?
I think Indiana's the favorite, but this Miami team, man. You talk about physicality wins in college football and in football, they might have the best D-line of any team left. Like, they might not have the best defense, they have the best defensive line. I know the Texans about something about Reuben Bain's alligator arms. I don't care about how long his arms are. You know what that guy does? He rushes the passer.
For sure.
The other guy, whose name escapes me, there's another pass rusher on the other side. They got two who will be first-round picks. They have an incredible defensive line, and you saw them bully Ohio State for 60 minutes on the line of scrimmage. Julian Sain was running around screaming for his life. Like, that is a problem. I know Ole Miss and Trinidad Chambliss are great, but if you can control the line of scrimmage, which Miami can, they are a real problem. So I think Indiana is the favorite, but I'm not counting out the Canes just because of how good their pass rush is.
Rob, you see the Tigers last night? Go ahead and say it. I know you saw the Tigers last night. I want you to go ahead and say.
I watched the entire second half of Missouri versus Kentucky. I might kick Kentucky out of my blue blood crew, but
wow, they're kicked out?
I mean,
how can you be kicked out?
They might not make the tournament. Oh, they're not.
There's no might not make the tournament. Kentucky is not making the NCAA tournament.
But still, give Mizzou credit. I don't mean to diminish Missouri's win. That's a really good win on the road against a team that they've never won in Rupp before. Like, if you want to be an NCAA tournament team, which Missouri has aspirations of being, you have to go win at Rupp. Even though that team is down, there is a lure still to winning there. Similar to how last year's Kansas team was bad, you still have to go there and win. That's a really good win for the Tigers, but Kentucky is way, very expensive roster, way down.
Oh, no, for sure. I will never apologize about going on the road and winning at Rupp Arena. No, this is not Calipari's. This is not Rick Pitino's Kentucky Wildcats. Going into that building and leaving with the win is still not an easy thing to do. This is a very different Missouri team. I'm not saying they would have beat Kansas. I'm not saying they would have beat Illinois. But I do think it's very obvious. Now that they have gotten Trent Pierce back, who was a starter for them and just gives them more length, and then Jaden Stone. Jaden Stone has been a massive improvement for them. They just needed another guy that could consistently score. And one of the problems I think that really hurt them against Kansas is, other than Mark Mitchell, they just couldn't generate enough offense from anybody else. So just over time, it just... Kansas was able to take advantage of that, and obviously we know how the game ended up. Man, now that they got Mitchell, who gave them 21 yesterday, you get Jaden Stone, who gives you 16, you got Trent Pierce, who can guard every position, can block shots, can get up and down the floor. There is a much more complete roster than they were 2 weeks ago. They got a chance to get back into the NCAA conversation. They got a lot of work to do because they don't have really any good non-con win. They got smoked by Kansas. They got smoked by Illinois. They just didn't beat anybody for the first 2 months of the season. But man, to kick this thing off, you beat Florida, you go on the road and beat Kentucky, you got a road game coming up on Saturday on the road against Ole Miss. Man, if you can wake up and you find yourself 3-0 coming back home to play Auburn, who's also been down this year, man, it is not crazy to think that Missouri can make the NCAA tournament this year. That should be the floor. You're in year four. You brought back a lot of talent from last year. Missouri has spent a lot of money on NIL and retaining talent. There's no reason for you to miss the tournament at this stage of your career if you are Dennis Gates, and that could keep your job, especially when you got the number one ranked point guard coming into Mizzou next year and the number three ranked small forward. Missouri has a good foundation building towards the future if they can turn this thing around in the short term. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say earlier today on Fesco's show. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This Dan Hawkins guy, the Kansas Speaker of the House, he's funny to me. He's a funny guy. So, you guys know the Chiefs they're moving to Kansas. The Royals are still trying to figure out what they're doing. Dan Hawkins, for the last couple of days, has been emphatic. We're done talking to the Royals. We don't want to talk to the Royals anymore. He was asked a question by Channel 9 News. They do great work over there, and here's what he said.
The Royals and the Chiefs both had plenty of time. They had 18 months to come up with a good plan. The Chiefs did that. The Royals did not.
So you've closed the book on the Royals.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a done deal.
Did they reach out after New Year's Eve?
They had their lobbyists reach out and ask if there was any wiggle room, and I reemphasized December 31 was the date. You didn't make it, so we're moving on.
Okay. All right. We don't have to rehash the entire take from a couple of days ago. Check it out on the podcast page. Kansas, well, they don't have a professional team yet. They're about to get one, but once they get the Chiefs, they will be the smallest state in the union that has a professional sports team. There is no world in which a Major League Baseball team calls the state of Kansas and says that we want to move there, and the people of Kansas say, no, we're good, we moved on. So all of this is just talk and posturing and politics, all of those things. Now you have the North Kansas City county commissioner, who's been on the show before, saying the exact same thing. We're done talking to the Royals. We're not going to negotiate with the Royals anymore. Now, I at least understand it a little bit if you're Kansas. You got what you really wanted. I mean, they would have taken the Royals, but what they really wanted was the Kansas City Chiefs. They have had their eye in, they have zeroed on the Chiefs, and they have put all their resources. Look at the deal they made with the Chiefs. They were willing to do anything in their power to make sure that they got the Chiefs. Now that they got the Chiefs, I understand them kind of feeling themselves a little bit and feeling like they are coming from a position of power. North Kansas City, you've been waiting your entire existence for an opportunity like this. You're done negotiating with the Royals. Stop it. Maybe this is me creating something out of thin air. I think the Royals have stopped talking to both of them and have locked in on Kansas City, Missouri. And maybe now with the behind the scenes of everything that happened with the Chiefs, and they have seen kind of the Kansas City now is ready to wrap their arms around them again and don't want to leave them. I think the Royals have shifted their focus back towards downtown Kansas City and making things happening. There is so much more movement and buzz and conversation about the Royals being somewhere in downtown Kansas City. I mean, multiple locations are being thrown out again. 18th and Vine is being discussed as a possible location. The East Village is being discussed. Washington Square Park, who wasn't talked about for a year, has now been talked about. I think the Royals have cooled on some of them. And the Royals, like what we thought the Chiefs were doing, the Chiefs were clearly playing a renovation idea from Missouri against Kansas as more and more leverage to get a deal done. I don't think they ever were coming back to Missouri. I think they were always going to take the brand new stadium. If somebody is going to give you 70% on a brand new house and no property taxes, I don't care how much you love your house, you're moving. They moved. They moved. It's over. It's done. I just think now, and maybe this is me and my Missouri brain trying to understand it. I don't think the Royals ever wanted to move to Kansas. We know they don't want to move to Kansas. They came out day one, downtown stadium. They didn't mean downtown Overland Park. They meant downtown in a major metropolitan area, which is Kansas City, Missouri. I don't think they ever wanted to go there. I don't think they ever wanted to go to North Kansas City. It just, North Kansas City creates the same issue that they have right now. They might as well stay at the Truman Sports Complex if they go up there. I think that the Royals have quietly stopped talking to them. And I think Kansas realizes, all right, they're not maybe as hot about this idea. We got our professional team. We're not going to chase them. We don't feel like we need to chase them because we already got our team. North Kansas City, I think, was always being played against downtown in Kansas. I don't think the Royals ever realistically were moving to Clay County or up north. All of the challenges that North Kansas City provides, you have those same challenges in Kansas City, Missouri. The exact same challenges. So, yeah, I get why Kansas is carrying it this way. Kansas right now got the prettiest girl. They do. They got the Kansas City Chiefs. They're thrilled. They're happy. They're doing their victory lap. But I think quietly this is a sign that the Royals have just simply cooled off on both of those ideas. And they have really locked in behind the scenes. And I think they have kind of let it be known. We want to go. This is where our heart is. Our heart is in downtown Kansas City. Our heart is not moving it to 119th and all or in Clay County.
I will join you in dot connecting in this regard. It is worth noting it's only one of the county commissioners. There are seven on the board.
Okay, apologies.
He is one. We have had him on the show.
I forgot the guy's name.
Jason Withington?
Yeah, something like that. Chad or something. I don't know. Yeah. No shade toward him.
We've had him on the show. He is one of seven, so he's saying he's done. That doesn't mean the other six believe it. But I think if we're going to dot connect, Dan Hawkins saying that to KNBZ 9 News that, hey, you know, the Royals missed the deadline. They asked for extra wiggle room. We said no. North Kansas City saying we're done negotiating with the Royals. I think the Royals now, the Chiefs are gone, are going to get the deal they want from the city / Missouri. They are going to get maybe not the same level of sweetheart deal that the state of Kansas gave the Chiefs, but they're going to get a very, very good financial package from the city. And I think that's what they've always wanted. A good financial package, no vote downtown. I think they can now check all three of those boxes, and I think, and this is purely speculative, I think they are now using North KC and Kansas as leverage / contingency plays.
100%.
So I think when Dan Hawkins said, hey, they reached out and said, is there any wiggle room on the deadline? I think they reached out to be like, hey, we still need you as a leverage play, but we don't need you for your location anymore. It just, all the energy is pointing out toward East Village or Washington Square Park, which are, I think, two spots the Royals have always wanted from the jump. So I don't know if it's going to be 5, 6, 7. I don't know the timeline of years later. But it feels like from the minute John Sherman said that in Arizona, it felt like we're going to have a vote and then we're going to figure it out. And the Chiefs move to Kansas and the Royals go downtown. The outcome I think we all kind of expected feels like it's eventually coming home.
Yeah, and how I hear it is, and you know I love a good relationship analogy, is the Royals have been dating three people. And eventually, the North Kansas City or Kansas looked at you and said, well, what are we doing here? Where is this going? And I think that the Royals quietly told those two places where their heart is. I told you guys this. We should have known the Chiefs were leaving when they said these two things. We believe we have gotten all the money we can out of the Truman Sports Complex. Mark Donovan said that to us. We think we have gotten all of the money out of where we are. We should have known right then and there they were leaving. What company is fine with, you know what? We've made enough money here. We're good. What company is happy saying that? And then he also said, we don't see any economic development at the Truman Sports Complex. Right then and there, we should have known. Their plan was not to renovate. If nostalgia is the only thing that is keeping you in that building and not profit, not growth, not viability, we should have known right then and there they were wasting all of our time and just please announce the move to Kansas. They already went ahead and done it. The Royals have told you from day one what their hope is. We want to be John Sherman's first press conference as the owner of the Royals. We have a vision for downtown baseball. That's what he said. We have a vision for downtown baseball. We don't have a vision for the suburbs of Kansas or North Kansas City. We want to be in downtown Kansas City. And I know that it might be a blow to the ego if you're a billionaire and you got billionaire friends and you guys are hanging out and you guys are eating caviar and food that I can't even pronounce. It's got to be a blow for the poor people to tell you no. But you know what? What you do when you're a rich person, you figure it out. Especially when the state is offering to give you so much money to accomplish your vision and your goal. So it's going to be a roundabout way, but this is as encouraged as I've been in a long time. Right now we think the Royals have three possibilities. Two of the possibilities have said we're done. There's only one left then. The one we want. The place we want them to go. It's not like the Royals have come out and said there's no chance we're in downtown Kansas City. No, 119th and all have said the window has expired, and then North Kansas City says we're done. Great. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you guys to be out of the conversation. Quinn Lucas, get this done. Phil Lavoda, get this done. Get the Royal Stadium in downtown Kansas City. That's all we want. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say about Connor Embry and the Chiefs making some changes. We'll get to that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.